My mom, I wanted to really be here, and she couldn't be here because she had surgery yesterday. So she asked me if I would record it for her, so I'm going to be recording it for her on this. Mama, I'm right here. Okay. I've gave my testimony one time when I had my commencement, and I wrote it out, and I wrote it out again at Lori's house, and it was a same thing. But so I'm going to be reading off of it. I hope you guys don't mind that don't bother you. First, I'd like to say a prayer. You can join me in prayer. Father God, it is by your grace, mercy, and unfailing, unchanging, everlasting love that I stand here today, healthy and whole, mind, body, and spirit. Shalom. I ask you to calm my nerves as I yield right now in this very moment to be used by you and share the beautiful story of my redemption and how you pulled me out of the grips of the enemy's hands and placed me on a solid rock. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you for molding me perfectly for your glory. It's in Jesus' precious and beautiful name. Amen. Okay, this is just a very short story of a very long, long story. I just summed it up. Okay, my name is Kimberly Faye Fenton, a.k.a. known as Kim, Kimberly, Kimmy. I'm masterpiece of God. I am 40 years old. I began alcohol and drugs at the age of 10. I took my first hit off a crack pipe at the age of 13. This is when men began taking full advantage of a little girl addicted to drugs. Before I go any further, I want to let you know, I want all of you to know, I've always believed in God, or a God. It was the love of my mother that instilled a sense of God in me. In fact, my mom has been the only constant in my entire life, not just by being there, but by how she loved me, not perfectly, but purely, honestly, and unconditionally. This is how I felt the Spirit of God so young. I can remember looking up at the big sky and having a sense of knowing beyond reason that there was a real God. I've always seen God in the things we so often take for granted, the beautiful skies, the birds chirping, pleasant people along my path. It's the simple things. I've always had an appreciation for the arts, music, poetry, philosophy, painting, writing, photography. To me, that is how I see our Creator, through how He creates. Although I knew of a God that I really did not know yet, I was stripped of my innocence at the age of 10 through molestation. Being victimized by a family member left me confused. I struggled with identity soon after. Being raped multiple times, many times incoherent, waking up alone, left as a rag doll thrown away, never to be refurbished. All this happening before I even hit the prime teenage years. Living in a state of confusion and somewhat of terror, I continued to drown myself with as much drugs and alcohol as I possibly could. So often, I have met many people like myself addicted to one thing or another. Hello? Yeah. Okay, where was I? I ingested any substance that changed my reality. I used as much, however I could. I was on a mission to kill myself and did not even know it. Marijuana, alcohol, crack, cocaine, methamphetamine. What'd you say? Is it on? Okay. All right.
You can clip that on your...
That's fine. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go back just a little, again, just a little bit. Okay. All this happening before I hit the prime teenage years. Living in a state of confusion and somewhat of terror, I continued to drown myself with as much drugs and alcohol as I possibly could. So often I have met many a people like myself addicted to one thing or another. I, on the other hand, seem to have gotten myself addicted to every substance there was. I ingested any substance that changed my reality. I used as much, however I could. I was on a mission to kill myself and did not even know it. Marijuana, alcohol, crack, cocaine, methamphetamines, heroin, all became my life. These substances became the demon I walked with daily. I became enslaved to the substance that would get me highest the quickest. At age 18, I entered my first rehab, only to go back to what I knew shortly after. These drugs became my ease and comfort, my escape from the world. It's hard to go into everything in this hour, and this is not even going to last an hour, so if y'all have questions afterward, you just let me know. I'm going to take a drink real quick, sorry. So I'm just reading this short story, like I said, of a very long story, but I just want to give you guys kind of an idea of where God found me. The truth of God has been drawing me in for years. After numerous times in rehab, 25 that I can count on the top of my head, and after coming to believe I was worthless, unlovable, and there was no hope for change, I actually came to believe I was made to die with a needle sticking out of my arm. This is how my family and my children would remember me, and hoping that in spite of their junkie mother that died this way, they would become great anyway. But God, in his sovereignty, met me on a very cold winter morning, and he spoke to me directly. I was sitting on the front porch of a dope house in my little red pea coat, shivering, coming down from a high. I had no money left, and the most incomprehensible and demoralizing things had already been done to stay high. Suicidal ideation began setting in. Then all of a sudden, I remember this warmth that came over my body, and I looked up at the sun that was coming over the horizon. I heard this soft voice whisper inside my soul and my spirit, and it said, "Kimberly, I love you, and you will not be here for long." Then I looked down, and I became cold again. The feeling of loneliness and being alone came crashing in on me like a ton of bricks. I then, at that moment, could not bear the pain and depth of my despair, so I did whatever I had to do to find my ease and comfort again, my drugs. I wanted to die. Why didn't I die? Even as a mother of three children, I used to always ask God in an angry tone, "Why did you give me children if I cannot love them?" Knowing deep down I wanted to love them so bad. How come you did this, God? Self-hatred became me in every aspect, and I hated me to the core, and I became a murderer at heart, hurting whoever crossed my path. The vicious cycle of these demons controlling my life had me. It was only when the day I literally fell to my knees, crying out to God, sobbing with crocodile tears, falling to the floor in the treatment center bedroom that I was in at that time, pleading with God to forgive me, pleading with God to do for me what I could not do. Do something, God. And like never before, I woke up the next day with a weight it felt like had been lifted off my shoulders. The weight of shame, guilt, and unforgiveness, I felt it gone. I remember waking up that morning after that prayer, and all of a sudden, there was a shift in my perception. Although I knew there was much damage that had been done to my family and my children, just like I've always known every time, this time there was a presence of God like I cannot explain that came over me and comforted me, gave me love that I've never felt. This love met me right where I was. I didn't feel like I had to clean everything up for this love. For the first time, I felt a father loving his little girl who had been lost for so many years. In fact, this little baby girl that never made it out of childhood. It's been a little over 2 years, and he has showered me with so many blessings. The biggest blessing of all being his unconditional love, his grace, his forgiveness, and his peace that I've never had. Through the many years of turmoil and tears and anger, rage and anguish, his peace is the umpire of my heart now. He continues to draw me in. After the many 30-day treatments, he gave me the gift of the Healing House and New Beginnings. This is my house of Bethesda. So I'm going to turn in the Bible and read that, if you don't mind. John 5:15. Let me see. Sorry, guys. Okay. The beautiful thing is when I read the story and it witnessed to my spirit, this man was 38 years old and I was 38 when I entered the Healing House. There was a certain man there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus noticed him lying there, helpless, knowing that he had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" The invalid answered, "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm coming to get into it myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately, the man was healed and recovered his strength and picked up his pallet and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath and you are not permitted to pick up your pallet because it is unlawful." He answered them, "The man who healed me and gave me back my strength was the one who said to me, 'Pick up your pallet and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is this man who told you, 'Pick up your pallet and walk'?" Now the man who had been healed and did not know who he was, for Jesus had slipped away unnoticed since there was a crowd in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. When I entered the Healing House, I feared change in the beginning because of the life I became accustomed to. But through his mighty hand, he changed my heart, and I became ready and willing to do whatever it took. The most important thing the Healing House has done for me is helped me with my ability to grow in a relationship with God, provided me a safe place, a safe environment, while I learn life skills and begin to apply those skills to my life. I am now a participant in my own life. They say when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and this is what God has done for me. He gave me the willingness to repent, he gave me the desire for change, and he gave me the hunger for him. I thank Heather Geek for following through with the vision God gave her so long ago for this house. I thank the many people in our community who have poured so graciously into the Healing House and who continue to. I thank all the board members who helped make this happen. And I really thank the many girls who have come into the house and walked beside me through the process of growth. These girls have loved me at my worst and witnessed me at my best. I more so thank the girls who are just now coming in and the ones who will come in who are not necessarily ready. Without all these beautiful women, these precious children of God giving their life a chance, there would be no Healing House. I thank my children who never gave up on me when they wanted to and for calling me mom. My daughter is here, Aaliyah Fenton. You knew I was going to throw you on the bus. I love who she is. There is none like her. I say, stay true to you, kiddo, always, never bowing down to a man, and always following your heart, even if it's different than going everybody else's way. If I had to give thanks to one specific person besides God Almighty himself, it would have to be my mama, the simplest, loving woman I've ever met. She prayed me into life. I am now a house manager of the new woman's house that has opened. Thank you, Lori Mills. She has opened her heart and her home to us so women can grow even more. As a manager, I lead these women by how I live, by example. I stay active in my program, and I stay honest and accountable. They know they can talk to me at any time for any reason. If I can help just one girl that comes through the doors of the Healing House find their confidence in Him and come to believe themselves as more than conquerors, then I'm good. Because at the end of the day, it's never been my job to change anyone, to convince anyone anything. I just continue to walk with God and allow Him to use me most days when I don't even try or even know that He's using me. And then the beautiful thing is I watch these girls go through their own process, which in essence helps me more than ever helps them. I will eventually transition out into my own home with confidence in Him. I will forever be grateful for the gift of the Healing House. It has given me a foundation to build my life upon the rock of Jesus. The end. The program? Well, it is a intensive 1-year program. We work during the day. We have our own jobs, and we have classes at night. That's okay. It happens. It wouldn't be normal if there wasn't stuff like that. Like I said, we work during the day, Monday through Friday, some on, you know, different hours, Saturdays, Sundays, and we go to church on Sundays. We have classes at night, anything from life skills to spirituality class to codependency class to adult children of education to, what are you saying, Lori? Program of Action, sorry, that I get the privilege to present now because... And I'm very passionate about that program. I personally I go to AA. I'm very passionate about that program, and I'm starting to learn the history of the program. It's just a program, and it's Christ-centered. So all the things that we do are centered around Christ. And it just teaches us women, and we are like a sisterhood there. I mean, all of us women come from different walks of life. I mean, it's the same kind of life, but different walks. Some come from prison, some come from the streets, some come from treatment centers, and we all come in there, but we have the same goal, to find a new way of life and with Jesus. So.
And you're the house manager?
Well, I'm one of the house managers. Andrea, my old roommate, is here. She's now the house manager in the house on Main Street, the original. And we just opened up another house. Heather opened up another house. Lori Mills opened up her home for a few of us to go over there. When you say house manager, I feel like that's just it's like a title. But really, I'm just leading by example. I'm making sure that these girls are accountable for where they're at and what they're doing and doing what they say that they are doing. And like I said, I stay active in my program and help guide them. Heather Geek.
That's the whole thing. The Healing House in the beginnings is the name of the adultery. Okay, yeah.
Does anybody else have any questions?
When did it start? Who started it?
Heather Geek started the program in 2015. It took off, right? Yeah.
Healthy Women, May 2008 and 2015. We started with One Woman's House. 2017, they opened the Men's House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been there since January 30th. Well, I went there in August of 2016, and I was there for 6 months, and unfortunately, I went back out in the streets, and I came back January 30th after I went to a 30-day 30-day program, and I've been there since January 30th of 2017. And I now just transitioned into the other house, that the other woman's house. And eventually I'll transition out into my own home. Well, I'm not married, praise God. I do want to get married someday, though. I believe right now that he is preparing me for that marriage and preparing my husband, whoever he chooses to pick out for me. I do have the natural desire that God gave me to be married. It's a natural desire, and I do have that in my heart, and I believe that will come true. My daughter, like I said, Aaliyah Fenton, is here. She's 15, and she came back in my life through this process. And then I have a son that is 23 years old that struggles with alcoholism. And I am a leading, walking, talking miracle to him. Every time I'm around him, he sees the light of God, and it gives him a little bit of hope. I don't preach to him. I don't nag him. I don't even talk about the program around him. I just love him. And then where he's at, and I've seen him want it even more in that respect. And then I have a son that is 18 that just is in the Navy. He's in a submarine. He's going to be coming home on the 23rd. And you know, I always when I share my story about my boys, I always say, you know, they were raised exactly the same with the dysfunctional mother, and they went to completely opposite. So it goes to show you it doesn't matter, you know. I have a son that, you know, is an overachiever, straight-A student, and going to the Navy. And then I have a son that has really not a whole lot of ambition and is feeling like I have in many respects, and found alcohol to be his way of life right now. So, and then my daughter was raised by her wonderful father. He's a good man. And she's had a very... stable life in spite of my addiction because of her father. So, yeah. And just real quick, just the other day, I want to share a real quick thing. I was at work. It was just yesterday. I was at work, and my son, being the alcoholic that he is, there has been numerous times he's been hospitalized because of his alcohol. He's overdosed and had alcohol poisoning one time. He was in a coma for 3 days. I remember seeing his pancreas just floating when I went in there. He was so swollen. And the doctors told him, if you continue to drink, it's going to be devastating what's going to happen. And he still drinks, of course. I did too. I did the same thing. But yesterday, I got the feeling, and I got to go through what my mom has went through so many times with me. Just a little bit of glimpse of what she dealt with me. And I think God has a way of showing us that. Yesterday I was at work, and no one had heard from my son for a few days, and I started panicking at work and going in the bathroom. I was sobbing. I was calling everybody I knew, and I was getting ready to leave work, and it just dawned on me that my mom, what that lady went through many a nights. There was days and even months at a time she had no idea where I was. Like I said, she prayed me into life. And so that's what I will continue to do for my son, Seth. But God gave me a little bit of experience of what my mom went through with me. So... Well, I know that the community donates a lot to the Healing House in a lot of ways, which is definitely needed, because you got girls coming in there that have nothing. Literally, they come in there with nothing, that helps a lot. And personally, I would ask God to lead you in how to pray for these girls. For me, I pray for these girls that they find like I said, their confidence in Jesus Christ, and they find and they follow their hearts, and they continue to build a relationship with God, because that's the most important thing. That's their foundation. And to leave that program without a foundation of God is, for people like us, coming from backgrounds like us, is a scary thing. I've seen it too many times. I've been there, like I said, for almost 3 years now, and I've seen, my roommate can attest, we've witnessed many girls come in there, and they've either left before their time because they weren't ready, or even commenced and left and without really a real found, because a year is just a mark. It's not, a year is just a man-made mark that you know, for me, it took more than a year. It's taking more than a year. I mean, but we've seen girls that commenced that have left and thought they were ready, and unfortunately, you know, they weren't, you know. So I say to every woman that comes in that house, take full advantage of everything that's given to them. Take the classes, take the, you know, the teachings, take everything. It's all a gift from God, and it's being handed to you all almost on a silver platter. Take it and run with it, and because it'll give you a good foundation for your life.
I know that you guys have regular fundraisers.
Yeah, they're getting ready to have one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, can you name what they are? Or
what do you mean, like?
Do you normally have something at the park?
Yeah, it's getting ready to come up in May. Trish, you want to fill her in on that?
Which is an annual fundraiser that we have at the park.
Okay.
At Memorial Park.
And back to your question on prayers for the girls. And I want to share with you that what I believe God has put on my heart as I minister to these girls, and what my ministry is to these girls, is God met me right where I was. So my ministry to these girls that are coming in and who are here now, especially the girls that are coming in that may not really be ready, I know it by, you know, God meets us where we're at. We don't have to clean up for him to love us. Now, through his love, we want to, and we learn to love ourselves. As we learn to love ourselves through him, we will want to do better for ourselves. But when you come in, you don't have to change, right? I mean, God loves you exactly as you are. And God's love isn't a reward for our change. God's love is a resource for our change. And I want these girls to know that because a lot of girls come in there like I did, and hopeless, helpless, feeling worthless, feeling like they're unlovable, feeling like they deserve no love, feeling all these ways. And and when you get into a program, sometimes you're expected to, you know, and I just, my ministry to them is, one day, one thing at a time. God loves you right where you're at. Don't compare yourself to nobody, you know. And he knew you before you was born. And that's my ministry to these girls, because I see a lot of girls come in there and they kind of struggle with, they got to do this, they got to do this, they got to do this, they got. And it's just one thing at a time. And that's my biggest ministry to them. Well, Tricia, our new Healing House coordinator, I would give them her phone number, and I would tell them, personally, I'm speaking for me. I mean, I would make sure I tell these people exactly what they're going into, because it is an intensive program, Christ-centered, and there's expectations for you to guidelines. I would, for instance, prime example, I have a nephew right now. He's 24 years old, bless his heart. And he had mentioned something about coming to the Healing House, and I said, you're not ready. I told him he's not ready, because he would be going there to get himself out of whatever trouble that he's in. And it's and quite frankly, that's going to snowball, and it's going to hurt him and his daughter in the long run, because he'll get in there and he's not ready. He don't even know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior yet. And I don't feel that, I feel like he needs to maybe go to a Oxford House or something like that, you know? So. Yes, Trish, right there. They're ready. But if that's me. If people ask me about the Healing House, I'm going to tell them directly what this is, what it is. This is what, you know, you're looking at. And then they can make up their mind then. Because going in there when you're not ready, well, I mean, not necessarily. It's not a waste of time, because you're still getting fed. But it can be hard. The hardest thing is for the children of the people that come in there. They come in there and they're not ready, and the children suffer because of it. So my biggest thing is to make sure people know what they're looking at.
Also, if you go to the Healing House and New Beginnings Incorporated website, there's all information, and also there's applications and the packet of information and newsletters, our mission, our vision, all that is on there.
Do you get a lot of referrals of people coming out of other programs?
Yeah. I mean, I came out of Preferred Family Health Center. My father-in-law, well, he's my ex-father-in-law, but he's still my father-in-law. He was bringing in a ministry in Preferred Family Health Center, him and his wife, Sherry, my daughter's grandma, when I was in Preferred Family Health Center. And he is the one that spoke to Heather, and he is the one that said something to me about the Healing House. And that's actually how I learned at the Healing House. So Preferred Family Health Center, unfortunately, became my second home off the streets for the longest time. And I am grateful and thankful to them as well for what they've done for me. So. Praise God. Thank you for letting me share.